Good morning. I want to greet all of you. Welcome this morning, those that have joined us. We have some visitors, and it is good to see one as far away as China. And we're thankful that you have joined us this morning. We also want to welcome those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. We are thankful to be able to gather, aren't we? This resurrection morning, this gift that God has supplied unto us. And we're not a liturgical church as some view liturgy. We often think of liturgy as a something that is very formal in response, but liturgy simply means a form, how we worship, the order that we do things. But there is a response that comes. It has been from the church through the ages. Some date it back to when Mary Magdalene met Tiberius in Rome, and when she said, "He is risen," what is the response? He is risen indeed. And that is the gift that we have in Christ Jesus, that He has risen victorious over death, over hell, and over the devil on our behalf, that today we can sing that song of salvation. We're going to open with two songs this morning, the first two on the board there, number 126, "Christ the Lord is risen," and then number 462, "Crown Him with Many Crowns."
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, on this blessed resurrection morn, we come with joyful hearts, this day of joy, that we, as your children, can recognize He who is crowned with many crowns, our Savior Jesus Christ, He who overcame death, hell, and the devil on our behalf. We come together in unison this morning to sing these glorious songs that have been penned by these songwriters that you have given the inspiration for, and with together with many voices, but with one singularity purpose, to praise you, to praise even with these tongues of clay and these mortal bodies, that even in our sinful natures can recognize the glorious work of salvation performed on that center cross of Calvary. But we know that that cross is empty, that that tomb is empty, that you indeed emptied heaven's glory for us, Father, that our joy may be full even this morning. Be with us, Father, as we gather. Be with your children wherever they gather on this day, across the nation, across the world, even in the street corners, as your word is proclaimed. May it go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit, and may you give strength to those that broadcast, that proclaim this message, whether it's in the pulpits or whether it's in our day-to-day lives as we interact with those around us, that all would hear this wonderful Easter message, this beautiful resurrection that only you could perform for us, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ would die for us. Father, be with any who struggle, whether they are in times of physical trials, mental trials, or financial struggles. Meet them where they have that need, as you do, as you are the great physician, and you have the Holy Spirit as our comforter. You have sent our comforter for us during these times. Be with us even in our joyous times. There are so many times as we see each step along the journey of life, there are these times of joy as well, these times of the births of children, of the young ones as they progress through their school years, as they come, even as we are approaching that time of graduation, new jobs, different things that you have given each and every one of us. We know you have a bountiful storehouse, that you have provided all and that we need for each day that we step, each breath that we take in this life. And we know even that when that final breath is ended, that that is indeed even victory, victory in Jesus. Father, be with brother as he comes this morning, that this message would come forth from his heart and work in his heart first. Prepare our hearts to hear this message this morning. Now, Father, we offer the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Continue with number 131, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Singing sounds wonderful this morning. Psalm that we will read this morning is Psalm 118, found on page 474 in your pew Bibles. We're going to read the first 24 verses of Psalm 118. And we'll do so in Jesus' name. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Really a well-chosen psalm for Easter Sunday. This psalm of salvation, many verses in here that speak to us. Any familiar verses? I had remembered that verse 8 is the center verse in the Bible. Psalm 118 is the center chapter. I don't remember the exact numbers. I think it's 590-something before and the same amount after. And what a good verse to be the center of the Bible, that we would put our trust in the Lord. But as I was reading earlier this week, and what happens to me so often is there's a verse that kind of sticks in my mind, and as I mentioned before, that you kind of chew on like a cow chews its cud. It kind of ruminates in there, and that is verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I think sometimes when the language or the style of speech is a little bit different than what we use today, I was kind of pondering that setting us in a large place. And I was reminded that prison cells are very small places to be. A number of years ago, I had read a book by a pastor from Romania, Richard Wurmbrandt. Many of you probably have read that same book, Tortured for Christ. He went through a great deal because he publicly declared that communism and Christianity could not be compatible. I don't remember the exact number of years he was in prison, but I think he was 3 years in solitary confinement. And the one line that really stuck out to me in that book was about his time in solitary He felt that hell, his definition of hell was to sit alone in darkness and pondering past sins. What a terrible place to be in solitary confinement in a prison. I think his prison was, cell was 12 feet below ground where he couldn't hear even any noise. The prison guards would wear felt on their shoes so they wouldn't even hear, he couldn't even hear them walking. But he had the word that was so precious to him. And he would perform sermons every day. And that word was precious to him, and he even remembered those sermons after he was released from prison. And I thought that this large place is definitely not a prison cell, right? This is where we have been freed from the sin, from the law, from the curse of the law because of what Christ performed on that center cross of Calvary. This large place is a comfort. We often go to our rooms for the night, and that's a comforting place, and it's a smaller area, but I think of this large room. What a comfort here, even as we gather together. We sing these beautiful songs. My Jesus, I love thee. What a wonderful time to gather. And we can, as that very last verse we read, rejoice and be glad in this day today. We'll continue with number 113, Love Divine.
It is good to have so many extra voices this morning. We're going to, as we have already sung one extra song, we're going to sing another one. I'm going to first read the gospel. Normally we go into the message, but we're going to read the gospel this morning. It is found in Luke chapter 24, and that is found on page 777 in your pew Bible. We're going to read Luke 24. We're going to read the first 12 verses of that. And again, we read this in Jesus' name. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and had bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooped down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Amen. Let's continue now with song number 709, Christ Arose. 709. Oh, okay, 109, sorry.
Thank you.
Well, I want to greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May it be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? Hallelujah. And it really, I think in the original language, it's a call to come and sing with me. Come and praise God for what He has done. You know, there's no greater place than we can sing hallelujah. And it's that knowledge that God has provided. Everything has been provided. You know, this gift of grace is something that I think we find hard to understand, because we are so prone in our natural portions to do, aren't we? And we have to do, because that's how we survive. But the gift that God has given is that He has also created within each one of us a living spirit, all of humanity. There is no one that has been born upon the face of this earth that does not have a living spirit within them. And that is the purpose of the church, to sing those hallelujahs, to praise God for what He has accomplished, because the call is to of the gospel is to, you know, it's the words of Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Because we don't have the ability to bear our own yokes in a natural, in a spiritual sense. It is Christ who has accomplished it for us. He calls us to learn of Him. Why? Because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And that's the gift of the gospel, the grace that God has brought into the gospel message. You know, it calls mankind. You know, when we come to the church, we're not coming as those that are holier than the world around us. You know, we come together and we fellowship as sinners. We are sinners saved by grace. And it is only through that gift of faith that God gives unto us. And so the hallelujahs that we sing, they are simply the offering that we can give unto God at the time of the resurrection. You know, we talked about on Friday night how difficult it is. It's one of the most difficult times for me to come behind a pulpit, for even the day is difficult for me, because, you know, you meditate upon the events that took place that day, and you know you think about the apostles and the disciples and the struggles and the trials that they had in dealing with what was going on. You know, they didn't have the vision that we have today. You know, we have the blessing of being able to read and look back and see what was done, but they were there living in the moment, and I think all of us know what it's like to live in the moment, the difficulties that there are when trials come upon us, when there is you know, even within things, the fightings and fears that there are within man, you know, we don't have that peace on our own. And that's because we default to law. We default to those things that we understand and that we know, that we can touch and that we can feel. But when we come before our God, we're worshiping a God who is a spirit. And Jesus told the woman at the well that they that come to God must believe that He is, and that they one day will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, and that's our prayer, isn't it? That this word would continue to reach into the hearts of all of humanity, not just a few that are listening to the gospel today and in this church and the church down the road and across the lands and around the world. No, we desire that that word would go into the entire world, because that is God's love. And so these disciples, as they, you know, I was thinking yesterday, what had those disciples, what were they going through? You know, knowing that Jesus now had been crucified. He was dead. He was put into the grave. You know, and we see the preparation that was prepared. The end of chapter 23 in the gospel that we read, you know, it tells us that, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. You know, that's an interesting phrase. This is the end of the law. This is what he's talking about here. You know, they rested according to the commandment. This was the final time that they were going to face this commandment, because Jesus Christ overcame that. He paid the penalty for the law that is against mankind. Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that is a tough place for us to receive in our humanity. And it is until God speaks to us through His Spirit, until the gift of faith is brought into our hearts. You know, when Paul says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, this word is meant to be heard. You know, the very last verse on Friday night that we read from the Hebrews was, you know, the fact that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because this word is important. And I would encourage you to read this word. Start with the Gospels if you haven't read much of the word before. Learn of Jesus, because the rest of the framework of the scriptures don't make a whole lot of sense to us unless we know this Jesus who is the Christ. Because then the Old Testament begins to open up and we see God's plan of salvation. We see the fulfillment that he accomplished in the sacrificial death that there was of the lambs and the bulls and the goats. They don't make any sense to our human terms other than they were a ritual that were followed by the Jews. But they foreshadowed that which God would know Jesus Christ would accomplish. And why is that? Because we're all the same. The Jews back then, the people in Egypt that they were released from, we carry this sin nature with us. It came because of Adam and Eve. You know, and we can't blame them. That's you know, many look down upon the Jews because they crucified Jesus, or Adam and Eve because, well, they brought something into the world. You know, we know that it brought death. You know, and that's the challenge that we have. That's the difficulty that we find, is that death is that thing that, you know, when we're younger, it's way off. And now as some of us, as we get older, we realize it's not very far off. And it's certain. There is no doubt. Have any of you seen a resurrection? Have any of you seen someone come back from the grave? Oh, we have, you know, I've wondered many times, why did they have to die when a loved one has passed away? But we know that this is God's plan. His desire is that we would spend eternity with him. You know, and in these forms that we have, there is a change that is made. The Apostle Paul says that anyone that is in Christ becomes a new creature. You know, our lives change, our focuses change. You know, that's what repentance is. It's turning 180 degrees from the direction that we're going. It's focusing upon God and his work in Christ Jesus, not focusing upon ourselves. How many of us look in the mirror in the morning? First thing, don't we? How's my hair? How do I look? You know, how are things? That's who we are. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But that is our focus. But when Christ changes us, he changes our hearts that we would look to others. You know, and this example here, in Luke's gospel, I love John's gospel because he addresses so many things from the divinity of Christ. And I think what we see here is, you know, the humanity and divinity coming together. You know, as these women, as they brought those spices, it tells us, you know, the ones that they had prepared before. And they came, and what did they expect to see? It must have been a difficult decision to even go because, well, there was a stone that was laid in front of the tomb. They had seen that happen. There also was a guard placed there. Remember how, you know, the Jews said, well, this Jesus said that, you know, we're afraid that he's going to come again. We're afraid his disciples are going to come and take him and steal his body and say, well, he's risen. They expected to see that stone there in front of the tomb and the guard. But it tells us, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. He wasn't there. And then don't you just love this exchange that took place? It came to pass as they were much perplexed about thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? And that's sometimes how we are. We want to see those things that we hope to see, right? We want to do what we think is right and proper. And that's what these women did. They were following the direction and the commandment of the law that God had given. And they were right to do so. But we know that this gift that Christ Jesus brings to us, this payment that was accomplished on Good Friday, you know, many have looked at this resurrection day as the receipt of that payment. Daryl and my brother sent out a picture And it has a picture of a receipt, and it has a list of items, and they're all paid for. There's no payment due, because Christ has paid that for us. He's taken our sins, taken your sins and mine. And until we come to that place of knowing that, you know, resurrection morning is just a single event. But it's much more than that. It is the entire work of salvation. It is God's plan of salvation. Not planned as those events happened there 2,000 years ago. God wasn't surprised at what would happen when Jesus was led before his captors. No, the prophets in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before, spoke of these events that would come to place. No, God's plan was before the very foundation of this world was laid. You know, there is no one that does not see the gift that God has supplied unto us. I just love the 19th Psalm, and the opening of that 19th Psalm is, it tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, God speaks to us in so many ways. He speaks to us in things that we understand. And sometimes he speaks to us in things that are very difficult to understand. And, you know, we look at the theological discussions that go on, and sometimes they are almost beyond the scope of our natural minds, it seems. And yet God has given the ability for those to understand, that have believed, to lay hold of these promises and these plans. They wrote the scriptures for a purpose. And you know, it's interesting. Man can't change the scriptures. We can go back and change, and you know, we have a lot of ways to edit things today when we do emails, when we do texts. You know, there's a lot of ways that they're disguised. You know, so often fraud comes into play in those beings. We can't, there's nothing that we can change in the scriptures. The scriptures were recorded over millenniums, thousands of years. They were handwritten and copied. Time after time, and once they got done copying through the scriptures, they would start again to make sure they were preserved. They were written on scrolls. It wasn't until 500 years ago that, you know, the printing press came into being, and then the scriptures were put for all of us to be able to read it in book form. But up until that point, it was not something that you could go and pick up off of a shelf. The scriptures were read. And that's why Paul, in talking about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, this word has been intended initially to be read and to be heard. We have the blessing now to be able to read this word. And I would encourage you to read it. You know, cause this word to become a part of your life. And it's amazing what this gift will do for your heart, for the direction in life. And we're told here that after the question was asked, why seek ye the living among the dead? The answer is, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you while he was yet in Galilee. That's what the Spirit of God does to us. Once we know this word, once we've read this word, and sometimes when we're reading, we find it very difficult, and you know, we simply have to go on and say, well, you know, at a further time. But the Spirit brings the recall. The Spirit brings that back to us, what we read. If we haven't read it, there's nothing to recall, is there? But when we have read this word, then we can go back and see what God has said. There's no man entering in to edit something and to change it and to falsify it. This word as it is, we let the word be the word. Let it be what God has written, what he has caused to come into being for our blessing and for our benefit. And they remembered, what was it that they remembered while he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. How many of us could make that type of prediction? We can't see what's going to happen this afternoon or later on this morning, much less know the process and the exact things that are going to take place in our lives. This gift that this word brings to us is that God supplies. And that's what he supplied for us in Jesus Christ. He was delivered. Why? Because he was a sinner? No. He was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered because we were the ones that had the debt. one of the common readings that we have in the Old Testament is from the book of Isaiah, which is a fantastic book. This book, which this prophet has written, is often called the Gospel of Isaiah, and for good reason. But he writes here, he says in the 53rd chapter, starting with verse 3, he says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." And then there's, when the scriptures put the word "but" in there, let's pay attention. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That's what God desires to bring to your heart and to mine, is that gift of peace. You know, we live in a world full of turmoil and struggle. We have difficulties. We have health concerns. We have, so many things that are a part of this world. And yet, when we can rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his work of salvation, in knowing that our sins no longer accuse us, no longer before a righteous and holy God, even though there's a God that we cannot see, that inner turmoil is caused by the sin that is in there. But Jesus Christ paid that, and through the gift of faith we can believe, because we're called to a spiritual kingdom. And Paul has such a beautiful definition of it. He says, it's a kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. Righteousness that is God's righteousness. A righteousness that the prophet Isaiah wrote of, 500 years prior to that. I remember first reading this verse, and it's a powerful, actually two verses. From the 32nd chapter of Isaiah, he writes this. He says, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." That's God's promise to us in Christ. That in the midst of turmoil, he doesn't always stop the storm. Sometimes he simply calms us, doesn't he? Sometimes the storm is taken away, but we want to trust his guidance and his direction, his leading in these matters, because he is the one that has provided for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, "And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 to all the rest." They went and began to speak of those things. And there's the beginning of the gospel being spread, really. They saw what they recognized. And they remembered the words of Jesus that the angels there spoke to them. And we're told their names. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary and the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. These were the leaders of the church that he came to. What was the response? Their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Isn't that how we are sometimes? Not to accuse the apostles, because I look in my own heart and I see the struggle sometimes that it is to believe. But God is the one that gives us the strength. God is the one that is able to supply unto us that ability to believe. The Hebrew writer tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is something that God supplies unto us. It becomes tangible to us. Even though we can't see it and touch it, we can hear it and we can believe it. And then we're told there arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, stooping down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself that which was come to pass. And I just love that Peter was the one that was addressed here, because we know Peter. He you don't have to wonder what Peter was thinking, right? He cut off the ear of the servant. He told Jesus, "I will follow you to death." And what did he do? Three times he denied his Lord. Jesus told him, this is what's going to happen. He denied him, and you'd think, well, that would be the last person that Jesus would want to talk to and give the message to. No, it was the first. Because God calls those that are in doubt and fear. That's who he comes to and brings to us, that gift of salvation, this knowledge of who this Jesus is, that he is the Christ, that it is through his great love that he continues to reach out even unto us. You know, and we can tell the effect that it had on Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't a theologian. He was one who made his life fishing, and yet when Jesus called him, what did he do? He left his nets. He followed after Jesus. But we can see a number of Peter's messages that he spoke in the book of Acts. You know, he gives us a beautiful sermon there at the time of Pentecost, and then in the 10th chapter of Acts, let's listen to what Peter says. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, in whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." This is the effect that it had upon Peter. And you can read his epistle. He wrote two letters. You know, read those epistles and see where his faith lay. This Peter was so impetuous that said, "I can do it." He says, "We're kept by the power of God unto salvation." This is God's work. It is his gift of grace to us, his love towards each one of us. May we pray that this word would continue to go forth, that this grace would reach our hearts, would reach the hearts of all of humanity, because it is a gift that God supplies because of his great love. I want to close this morning with a song. It's a more contemporary song. And I guess they call it a song. You know, we have hymns and songs. Hymns are pretty much strictly praise to God. And the songs talk about our experience, our journey here in time. But this song is maybe a number, if maybe all of you have heard it. It's called "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." So let's hear what this songwriter has put. "What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my Savior will defend me. Through deepest valley he will lead me. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, my lips shall still repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, my lips shall still repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. It's my prayer, as I'm sure it is a prayer of every believer, that your heart would be brought to that place of comfort and consolation. And knowing the gospel, knowing that through the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, it was shed for you. And that this day you can believe your sins and your doubts forgiven through the precious name and through the shed atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because I say it, not because someone else says it, but because God himself has declared this in his word. We can hold fast to this word that is true. You know, we sing a song called Ancient Words, and I just love that. The words that have been written from so long ago that cannot be changed. You know, if they could be changed, I'm sure there's some that would desire to. But this word holds true because it is God's word. It is that which is able to secure our hearts here in time, that we may rejoice and sing those hallelujahs in eternity. Unto him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue with song number 721, In Christ Alone, number 721 out of our supplement.
Thank you.
Let's ask the Lord to humble our hearts in closing prayer and in benediction. Gracious Father, we thank you for an eternal word, a word that has been brought down through the ages, yet continues to secure our hearts. We pray, Father, that you would work within each one of us here gathered and throughout all the world, wherever that word is brought, that that word would find residence, that we could find that rest and that peace that only Jesus can bring. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In 1952, a bill passed indicating that the president shall set aside and proclaim a suitable day each year other than a Sunday as a national day of prayer on which the people of the United States may turn to God in prayer and meditation at churches, in groups, and as individuals. The National Day of Prayer is observed in hundreds of churches across the nation. Our 2025 National Day of Prayer service will be held at 7 p.m. on Thursday, May 1st here at the church. This year's theme is Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our format this year will be the same as in past years, with participation from members in the form of prayer, scripture reading, poetry, singing, or sharing of music. Please join us on May 1st and let Maya or Stan know if you will be participating and what you will be sharing. Our schedule for the week, Wednesday, will be Bible study at the home of Stan and Shirley at 7 p.m. And Friday, also at Stan and Shirley's home, women's Bible study at 10 a.m. Next Sunday, we will have Bible study at 10:15 to 10:45 and morning worship at 11. We're going to close with 738 out of the supplemental book. And during this song, an offering will be taken.